All right, so you've sent over this really interesting collection of research papers, and it seems like we're both kind of fascinated by this idea that you could actually use things like visual patterns or even sounds to help people walk better. I
Definitely.
mean, is that too simplistic of a way to put it?
No, I think that's a great way to frame it. You know, it sounds kind of wild, right?
Certainly.
Like something you'd see in a movie or something.
Right. It's like can a checkerboard cure?
Exactly.
But we're talking about serious science here.
Oh, absolutely.
These are legit scientific studies all about how they're using visual and auditory feedback to try to improve gait in folks with different neurological conditions.
Yeah, and it's not just one specific condition either. We're talking Parkinson's disease,
Ah.
multiple sclerosis, cerebral palsy, even just like, age-related changes in the way we walk.
So it's not even necessarily about like a specific problem. It's like they're trying to understand something much more fundamental about how the brain controls movement.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's like they're trying to understand those underlying mechanisms.
Yeah.
And they're exploring whether giving the brain additional information, whether that's through visual cues or these auditory cues, can actually help to sort of compensate for whatever those underlying issues might be.
So it's almost like you're giving the brain, like a nudge in the right direction using these external cues. But our brains already rely on all sorts of internal signals,
Yeah, of
right, to tell
course.
us how to walk.
Yeah, absolutely. But think of it this way. What if that internal guidance system starts to have a few glitches, like a GPS that's a little off?
Right, okay.
These therapies, they're like having that backup system. They're providing that extra layer of information to help fine-tune those movements when those internal signals might not be as reliable.
That makes a lot of sense. And I see in this research, I mean, they're exploring, it seems like two main approaches, right? There's the open loop systems and then there's closed loop. Can
Excellent.
you kind of break those down for me a little? What's the difference?
Yeah, absolutely. So think of open loop like setting a metronome. It's going to give you this fixed, unchanging rhythm, regardless of how you're actually moving.
Gotcha. So it's like a consistent beat.
Exactly.
But it's not really paying attention to, like, if you stumble or if you change your pace or anything.
Exactly. It's not adapting.
Okay.
Closed loop is different. It's more like imagine you're dancing with a partner, right? It responds to your movements, in real time, adjusting and adapting as needed.
So it's more like a feedback loop.
Exactly.
It's constantly kind of recalibrating based on how the person's actually moving.
Recite.
That's really fascinating. You know, there was this one paper that I don't know, it just really stuck with me. I think it was called Walking on Tiles. And it talked about how this doctor had noticed that some of his Parkinson's patients, they actually seemed to walk better when they were on like a tiled floor.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so simple, but it apparently like sparked this whole area of
Oh,
research
absolutely.
into visual feedback therapies.
It just shows you how these like almost accidental observations can lead to, really interesting discoveries.
It's true.
Because in this case, you have this simple act of, walking on this patterned floor, and it's like the brain is getting this visual feedback loop that it can actually use,
So it's not even that the tiles are like, aesthetically pleasing.
No.
It's that our brains are actually processing those patterns and using it. Like that's information.
It's information.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So how does that even work? Like what's going on there?
So it all comes down to this concept called optical flow. It's basically how our brains perceive movement based on, the changes in patterns of light.
Right.
As you're walking on that tiled floor, those expanding and contracting patterns,
Yeah.
they create this kind of visual feedback loop that your brain is picking up on.
Okay, wait. Back up. Expanding and contracting.
Yes.
What's happening there? I'm not picturing this.
Okay, so imagine like you're looking down at this tiled floor as you're walking,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
The tiles right in front of you, they seem bigger.
Yeah.
And then as you move, they seem to kind of shrink and disappear behind you.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay.
And that's what I mean by expanding and contracting.
Okay.
And that pattern, your brain's constantly processing it. That's how you judge your speed, your direction, all of that.
Oh, I see. Okay. So my brain's doing all this math in the background without me even realizing it.
Exactly. It's amazing.
That's wild. Okay. So then what happens when you stumble? Does it just like short circuit?
Well, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Because when you stumble, the visual feedback from the floor, it changes drastically.
Yeah,
Like the tiles might seem to like rush towards you
right.
or they blur. your head moves unexpectedly.
Oh, yeah.
And so that sudden change, researchers think it might actually trigger a faster corrective response from the brain.
It's like your brain's going, whoa, wait, hold on, someone's off.
Exactly. Red alert.
Course correction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that potential for like a faster, almost more instinctive response,
Okay.
that could be hugely beneficial for someone who has gait issues.
It makes you realize how much we rely on those visual cues, even when we don't even realize it, you know?
Absolutely.
So we've got the visual side of things, but these papers also talk about using auditory cues, right?
Yes.
Especially with those closed loop systems that we were talking about. And this idea, it's really interesting to me, of the patients actually kind of creating their own rhythm through their movement. How does that work exactly?
So imagine a device and it generates like a gentle clicking sound. Okay. But it's synced with your steps. So every time you take a step, you hear a click. But it's not about, imposing a rhythm on you. It's more about giving you this feedback that allows you to then find your own natural rhythm.
So it's different from that metronome example.
Yeah, it's different from the metronome,
Because
exactly.
it's about this feedback, this self-regulation.
Exactly. My step creates a sound, that sound that informs my next step,
Yeah.
and so on and so forth.
And that feedback loop, you know, that sense of control, I imagine that could be really empowering.
Absolutely, it can be huge,
Huh.
especially for someone who feels like they've lost some of that control over their movement.
Right.
It allows them to be an active participant.
Yeah.
It's not just passively following instructions.
So we're kind of getting into the how of all this, but the real question is, like, does it actually work?
Right.
Like, do people actually see improvements?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and it's what's really interesting when you start to look at the actual studies, because it's you get this really fascinating mix of results. Yeah, so some of these studies, they show these like really promising results. Like you see significant improvements in like how fast people are walking or like how far they can step, their stride length. But then you've got other studies where the results are they're not as dramatic. And some are even kind of mixed, And I think what it really highlights is that everyone responds to these therapies a bit differently.
So it's not like this like one size fits all kind of thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And it speaks to this real need for more personalized approaches to treatment, Like take for example this I think it was this paper, auditory feedback for improvement of gait. They found that with MS patients, multiple sclerosis, the ones who saw the most benefit from this auditory feedback, they were actually the ones who had, more room for improvement. Like they had slower walking speeds to begin with.
So it's almost like if you're already walking pretty well, those cues, they might not have as much of an
That's
impact.
the way to put it.
It's like trying to push a car that's stuck in the mud versus like, you know, giving a little push to a car that's already rolling.
That's a great analogy. You're right. It's like there might be sort of this ceiling effect for some people, And it's not just about effectiveness either. We also have to think about things like will people actually use these therapies long term?
Because it doesn't really matter how well it works in the lab,
Yeah.
right? If you're never going to wear the thing.
Exactly. Or if you hate it. Some people just they might not like wearing the device, or they might find the cues distracting, like those visual cues. For some people, it's too much.
Right, it's like sensory overload.
Exactly. While other people might actually prefer those visual cues over the auditory ones, so much of it comes down to like individual needs and preferences.
Which is why it's so important to think about, you know, patient-centered care. It's like what works best for that particular person.
100%. It's like finding the right tool for the job, right?
Exactly.
Like you wouldn't use a hammer to tighten a screw.
You'd make a mess of things.
Exactly. But in this case, we've also got to make sure the person like using that tool actually feels good about it.
That it's something they can see themselves actually doing.
Yes. And here's another really fascinating thing that came out of this research. Several studies have found that these improvements people experience, like with their gait, they can actually last even after they stop using the device.
Wait, really? Hold on. You're saying even without those external cues, the benefits kind of stick around.
That seems to be the case in at least some cases.
But how is that possible? I don't get it.
Well, and that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it suggests that the brain isn't just passively responding to these cues, right?
Right.
It's actually learning, it's adapting. It's like the brain is using those cues to kind of retrain itself in a way.
So it's like rewiring itself thanks to these therapies.
Yeah, to develop these like new pathways, these new strategies for walking, even without that crutch.
Yeah, that's incredible. Wow. So where do you think this goes from here? Like, what's next for this whole area of research?
Well, I think based on what we're seeing, there are some really, really exciting avenues, you know?
Like what?
Well, for one, combining both those visual and auditory cues into like one therapy,
Oh, interesting.
you know, hit it from all sides. There's some evidence that this multisensory integration, you know, engaging multiple senses, it could be even more effective.
Interesting. So instead of just seeing the tiles or hearing those clicks, you're kind of getting both at the same time.
Exactly. Like you're giving your brain like a surround sound experience
Right.
for walking.
Yeah, I like that.
And it gives the brain more information to work with,
Right. Makes sense.
reinforce those new movement patterns. And what's really cool is that this research, it could have implications beyond just gait, you know?
Really?
Yeah, it really speaks to this incredible plasticity of the brain, you know,
Right.
its ability to adapt, to change, like throughout our lives.
It's like we're just scratching the surface of what's possible.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
No pun intended, but I want to like bring it back to our listener for a second. You know, if there's one thing you want them to take away from all of this, like what would it be?
You know, I think for me, the biggest takeaway is just how amazing our brains are. You know, they're constantly taking in information, trying to make sense of the world. And sometimes it's like all it takes is this little bit of external guidance. You know, whether it's something as simple as like the pattern on the floor or, you know, some auditory feedback from a device, and it can make a world of difference.
It's like giving your brain a little nudge in the right direction.
Exactly. And as we've seen, these therapies, they're not just about treating symptoms, right? They're about tapping into that incredible ability that our brains have to learn and to adapt, you know, to change for the better.
Yeah, and it really is remarkable when you think about it. Like we started this whole conversation with that simple observation of, you know, people walking better on a tiled floor. And look where we ended up, like all these different therapies and this whole new understanding of what the brain is capable of.
It just goes to show sometimes the most groundbreaking stuff, it comes from just, you know, paying attention, noticing those little things.
Absolutely. And it seems like with this research in particular, we're really just starting to scratch the surface. You know, like who knows what other possibilities are out there, not just for gait, but like for all sorts of things. So for our listener, you know, the person who's been with us this whole time on this deep dive, what's that one thought you want to leave them with?
Well, I think it's this. These therapies, they're amazing, right? They offer so much hope. But they're not just about fixing something that's broken. It's not just about symptom management. You
Right,
know,
it's bigger than that.
it's about tapping into something, this incredible capacity our brains have to learn, you know, and to adapt and to actually change throughout our lives. And I think it begs the question, like, what else is possible? Like, what other hidden potential is there for healing and for improvement if we can just start to really understand these connections between our brains and our bodies and the world around us, you know?
That is such a good question. And honestly, like what a perfect note to kind of wrap things up on. I mean, it really is like we're living in this incredible time of scientific discovery and the future of, you know, human health and well-being. It seems limitless.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for joining me on this deep dive. It's been fascinating.
It's been a pleasure.
And everyone listening, you know, keep those brains engaged. Stay curious. You never know what you might discover.